many, many precious truths. Asking, I'm not entirely sure if it was brought up in the ladies' prayer band or not, but be in prayer for the family of Pastor Ronnie Wolf. He was a mentor of mine, one of those men that taught me back in college, but then also kind of just kept going. If you go look down in my office for the past 2 years, there's been a poem that he wrote that's framed and sat on my desk. But pray for his family. He's passed away. And just a great man of God. Continue to be in prayer for Brother Irving Cummings as they run tests to see what's going on there. They just take care of him. All right, with that said, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Finally, we'll stop right there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we turn to look into your book, Father, we must thank you and praise you for it. What a wonderful thing you have preserved and given to us. I pray, Father, we not see it as a trinket, Lord, just another book upon the shelf. But, Lord, let us treat it as the instructions for our lives, the love letter from you. Father, advice from the father to a child. Lord, help it to envelop our lives. And, Lord, help us to chase after and follow you. Lord, I pray for our prayer lives. Help us to be in constant communication with you. Lord, not distracted by this world, neither by sin nor vice. But Father, instead, looking to you, entreating you. Lord, just searching into your word for your wisdom, Lord, and your help. Lord, I pray that we be your people indeed. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. What we are addressing here in the final chapter of the book of Philippians is some advice on how to live your life. Some folks, they get into the mindset to where they don't believe that God has... Oh, don't you hate it when you're going to sneeze and it goes away? But we get to the point where we believe that God doesn't say anything about our minds. And preaching should not be about such a practical application of Scripture. It absolutely is. I've got this relative down in Kentucky. He does not care much for my style of preaching. And I asked him, I said, well, that's very hurtful. I respect your opinion. What is it that I'm doing wrong? Because I've done a few funerals down there, and he has always requested to come after me and preach it right. Finally, I took him and said, please, just whatever. What is it that I'm missing? Now, he's a Kentucky preacher. And he preaches down in the hollers like this. So you could say word for word the same thing, but this is what I was not doing. And then the Lord said unto him. That's what many people do. They think preaching is a formulaic style. Right? You've got a. And they grunt out and they shout. And you're supposed to just explain the Bible and never actually talk about how to use the Bible. Folks, that is why this book is in your lap. That is why God did the work that he has done to preserve it, bring it into the English language, and keep it for you there. It is why after all the devil's attacks and after all the perversions that God is, not God, but all the perversions that God has had to compete against, that is why you still have the Word of God as it is. That's why you still have it, so you could take it and use it. There are things that the Bible tells us that many a Christian goes, well, I just wish God would be clear with me on this. And the book of Philippians in this final part is one of those things that speaks on so much of what people struggle with. But because we're just trying to get to the end of the chapter, we don't realize what it's saying to us. There's no magic here. There's no having to look deeper. There's no, if we got to turn our head on the side and look at it just way, just such a way and take it back to the Greek and then we bring it back to the English. And no, it's there. It's clear. Look at this very first verse, verse 4 here. Rejoice in the Lord always. What have we been talking about on Sunday mornings? The purpose of worship. And there is a side effect to worship. When I've got my eyes glued on God, and I'm thinking about how good He is, and I'm thinking about how His mercy has enveloped my life, and His grace is more than sufficient, when I'm watching God, there is a side effect. And that side effect is, I have hope. I have joy. These things in this world, they bother me less because I know who's in charge. That is our, as the side effect of rejoicing in God in everything. I know there is nothing that happens my God does not control. I know He allows nothing to happen without there being some purpose or some plan to it. You even consider, well, when the devil's tempting me, or this world is tempting me, or there's persecution, what is the purpose so that that patience would work its work in you? That patience would have its way with you, making you stronger. So even when the devil, like Joseph's brothers, means something bad for you, he can turn it into something good. Let me reveal how weak this Christian is. Let me go ahead and so I can point out to God, look how weak your people are. And he attacks your body, and he attacks your family, and he attacks your country. And you're sitting there and you're getting stronger in the flames. That tells the devil who you are. He never lets anything happen without it working out for the good. We must remember God. So he says to them, rejoice in the Lord always. That ought to be your attitude. That ought to be how you see the world all the time. Now, if you're distracted, you're going to have a hard time doing that. If you're rejoicing in other things, oh, look, isn't it wonderful? They've got this on sale down there at Kroger. If that's your hope, man, you're in trouble. Oh, look, they got the car I wanted down there at the dealership. Oh, look, they put the Christmas stuff on sale. Oh, look, this started to work, that stopped, whatever. If that is what we're focusing on, oh, look, they've got brand new season of this television show out. If that is what you are distracted by, you're going to have a hard time rejoicing. And that's why in verse 4, he says it again. And again, he says, and again I say, rejoice, because we will forget. My friends, we must remember God. As we've been looking at it Sunday mornings, we must remember His salvation. We must remember the extent of His love, even down to the blessings He gives us every day. We must remember what He is capable of, right? We must remember what He has done in the Bible. We must remember what He has done for the years since He has communicated to us. We must remember what He has done in the past in our lives. And when we can do that, we can strongly look forward and say, my God can do it again. If He could heal this person, He could heal that person. If He can do this in my life, He can do it again. We must have faith in God that strong. But that is stoked, that is fed by remembering who He is. We got to remember the God we serve. Remember what He is capable of. Think of what He is doing now. Think of what He is doing now. Oh, the world is so terrible out there. I know. Why is it so terrible out there? So the book of Revelation can happen. How does the Bible describe it? They think they're in charge. What are they doing? Playing into His hands. This is where you will be. Well, I don't know how that's going to happen. And they think they're winning. They thought they were winning when they put Him on a cross. They thought they were winning when they put Him in the ground. But they found out 3 days later, they didn't win a thing. Amen. They didn't win anything. People often think, well, there's that devil. I think the devil knew what was going on when they put Jesus on the cross. I don't think he sat there going, hee, hee, hee. I thought he sat there going, there he is. There he is doing the thing. What this world thinks they're accomplishing, they're not. That is what he's doing right now. He is painting a picture. He is completing a promise. to us. And one day he'll come back for us, and the world will stand blind to what God is doing. But not us. We must remember what he is doing now. And when we can remember this, when we can keep it in our minds, what does it do? It keeps us faithful. It keeps our hope up. Oh, Lord, why is it that, you know, I think about Brother Wolf. Well, Lord, don't you know we got a shortage of good men out there preaching? Lord, don't you know that those men that are out there are afflicted with their own diseases and their own sicknesses? Lord, don't you see what they're going through? Some of these men that have been preaching in pulpits for 40 plus years, or those who are on in years who are still preaching faithfully through health conditions and things like that. Lord, don't you know that these men come at a premium? Why'd you take that one? Because I promised him when he was done, he could come home. Amen. But it makes me sad. Yeah, but why am I sick? Why am I sick unto death? Why do I got this disease? So that you could come home. We get sad about it. We get messed up about it. I understand that. But the answer is simple. So that God can complete his promise. I have hope in God's promise keeping. Many people, they do that. They make promises and they make promises. And they have no intention of keeping them. God is not so. He keeps his promises. What do we see today? So many people are despondent. They are frustrated. They are discouraged. And that breaks my heart, folks. I've been there too, where I'm just looking at this world and you get discouraged. This is the way the world is supposed to be. You don't light candles in the daytime, do you? Well, some of you got those fancy smelling ones. Never mind. But you don't light the ones to create. You don't create light with candles. Oh my, it's a bright sunny day. I better light the candles to get some lights on in here. You don't do that, do you? When do you put lights out? When do you put candles and flashlights out? When it's dark. And it feels like there's not power. Right? You ain't got no power. You burn those candles. Where do you put the light of the world? Where it's dark. That's your job. Man, this world, it doesn't have any savor. There's nothing good. So what are you saying? That God should perhaps put some salt in there? It's almost like I used to have contractors. We would hire and we would come to fix something. And the guy would come in and he would say, oh man, he'd be a plumber. I'd hire a plumber. Plumber, please come in and take a look. The plumber would come in and he would say, man, these pipes are just messed up. They need to be replaced. And I don't know how you're going to get that done. And I'd look over at the plumber and I would say, so you're saying what I need to do is hire a plumber. Well, yeah, but it's going to cost things. That's how hiring contractors work. I don't have the manpower. You do have the manpower. I will give you money to fix this problem. Right? As the man, this world is getting dark. So you're saying what we need is light. Man, this world is nothing like God. You can't tell much about God in this world anymore. So what you're saying is we need some salt. That's what we're here for. We do not get despondent nor discouraged at this world. We realize that is why we're here. That is why when God saved you, he didn't immediately call you home. Because you have a job to do. We must remember what God is doing now. We must have hope because we see what he is doing now. And that is why Paul says it twice. And again I say rejoice. Right? That's my favorite thing to do. Why do you keep repeating yourself? Because it keeps happening. Right? Why do you keep saying don't do that? Because you keep saying it. Why do you got to remind people so often to do things, right? We used to do that all the time. We'd send out little letters. Hey, sorry, you missed your rent payment. Right? We'd send those out on the 3rd. Hey, you're late. And then later, those little notices, they got a little bit more stern and a little bit more official. People would come in all the time. Why do you keep putting notes on my door? Well, you didn't remember the first four. I put this one on there. We had one. You knew you were in trouble. I had big red door hangers. Big red door hangers were if you got to the end of the month and you still haven't paid, guess what? Now I'm coming over. Well, why you got to put a big red door hanger on it? Because I want you to know I'm serious. And red things tend to do just that. Big red door hanger. Oh, why do we repeat things? Because, man, us Christians, we forget. God's people forget. We get caught up in the storm. We get caught up in the problems. We get caught up in our own apathy. And we forget how great God is. Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense, but it is true. We forget how great God is. All you could tell me about is miracles. You could tell me about the great things he's done for you. But we forget how great that is and how great he's going to be in the future. We must remember God in our rejoicing of him. And we must lift that rejoicing up. Lord, thank you today. Oh, Lord, I'm a little stiff, but I'm walking. Oh, Father, you know what? I didn't step out of a palace, but I stepped out of someplace warm. Father, it's not lobster and steak, but it sure is good in my stomach. We must remember and rejoice in these things. Lord, this was bad, but because of you, I know it wasn't as bad as it could have been. Lord, thank you for the blessings in this, and thank you for the blessings in that. We ought to be glad in every moment for what God has done. And then he comes in and he hits every Baptist on earth with verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, what is that word moderation? Well, it's from the Greek term meaning moderation. There's no trick to it. There's nothing fancy here, folks. It means what it says. Not too much of anything. No excess. Having things that are natural, that are good and good amounts. Nothing more. Within reasonable limits, with no excessiveness. That is what we are aiming for. And that's hard for me to preach in the state that I am. But why is it that we eat too much? It's okay, I can preach on this. If anybody's guilty, it's me. Who's he talking about? Himself. Why do we eat too much? To stimulate ourselves. Why do we stimulate ourselves? Because we're missing something. Christians, if you're missing something, most likely what is it? Focus and attention on God. If you've got to buy everything you see at the store, from every marbled turkey to decorations all over. Man, I met a lady, she loved house decorations. Her home was 900 square feet. She probably could have decorated the White House with what she had. She came to me, sir, I need another storage room. I go, ma'am, you have three already. And that's what some people do. They go, why do we buy stuff we don't need to fill a hole? Well, if there's something missing in your life, what do you really need? People tell me all the time, why do people chew on ice? Well, they chew on ice because they got an iron deficiency or this or that. There's always something like, why is this going on with my hair? Well, you're missing this vitamin, you're missing this nutrient. So what do? Well, you can either change your diet or you can start buying these vitamins and whatever have you. Christians, if there's something that doesn't feel right with you to where you need to fill that with the purchasing of goods or foods, you need to go back to God. And I say that looking like I do. What are we really doing? What are we really acting upon? Well, let me go have a snack. Let me go have another book that I'm not going to read. Let me go have another tchotchke to hang on the shelf after I remove the seven other tchotchkes on there that don't need to be there, right? Just the things we do to get a little hit of dopamine in our brain, right? To get a little bit of a thrill in our brain that lasts about that long. And we give into it, and what we need to realize is that there's a greater deficiency. Did you read your Bible today? Have you been doing it regularly? How is your worship? How is your conversation with God? What is missing that you're sitting there going, what is missing? It goes the same thing with the television, the screens, the whatever have you. Those little games that you play. Well, why do you sit there? Why do I sit there? Maybe this isn't you. Probably the wrong crowd for this. But why am I up at 4 o'clock in the morning playing this video game like a lot of people in the generation under me get caught doing? Why? There is something missing. And what does the Bible say? We must put off the former and put on Christ. It is in the Bible. We cannot please ourselves. We cannot operate the way we ought to, trying to put things in that do not work. Melody, we got her a little dress for her birthday, and it lit up inside. And it needed AAA batteries. I'm like, oh no, we need AAA batteries. Folks, I could not put AA batteries in there. I could not put a ham sandwich in there. I could not put my wishes and dreams in there and get that thing to light up. What is something that takes AAA batteries need to power itself? AAA batteries. How does a Christian receive the strength and fortitude to do what they need to do? Christ and Christ alone. And if it's not working, if you're not what you ought to be, you need to plug back into the source, because that's what's missing. People with diabetes, what do they have? They've got this thirst. Oh man, you could drink gallons of water and you still not feel comfortable. I'll tell you if you don't know. You could drink 2 gallons of water and still feel like you're dying of thirst when diabetes got you. What reminds you of something else, doesn't it? I'll give you water, you'll never thirst again. You have to fix the underlying problem. And my friends, if you've got issues going on right here, unless there's a physical reason, unless there is a chemical reason from medication mixtures or something like that, but if there is something not operating right in your life, it is because you have left the will of God somehow. And you cannot fill it with people, and you cannot fill it with money, and you cannot fill it with food, you cannot fill it with stuff, you can't fill it with experiences. What you need is Christ. I'm not putting any of those things down. You need people. You need food. You need, to a certain extent, you need stuff. You need experiences. You do need these things. You need a vacation. You need to get away every now and then. You need to have something to look at your house that's not the people in it. I get it. But it won't help you. It won't solve the problem. What we need to do instead is to turn to the Lord. Proverbs 25, verse 28 says this: he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Just about anything can get in. Without control over yourself, just about anything can get in. Man, why? How'd this sin get a hold of me so quick? Because you let your guard down. Because you have not been guarding yourself. You have not been purposeful in your decisions. Remember what I always tell you about accidents. Accidents happen 2 different ways. Number one, something completely unavoidable happened to you and it hit you and there was nothing you could do to prevent it. There's nothing you could do to have stopped it. The other one is recklessness. Right? There's a difference between I was driving down the road at the right speed limit with the right setting on my lights on, and a deer just jumped out of the woods, hit my car, nothing I could do. Versus the person who is on their cell phone driving down and they smack into a tree and they go, oh my, what a crazy accident. That's recklessness. If you don't control yourself, you're going to have increased amount of things that you can't stop. And you're going to have a very large amount of things that happen because you are being reckless. And what do we say in response? I wasn't trying to do that. And then some smart aleck like me looks over at you and says, but were you trying to not do that? Well, what do you mean? Well, you wouldn't have spilled it if you used 2 hands, right? Well, yeah. You wouldn't have hit that person if your phone was down where it should have been, right? Well, yeah. We must be purposeful in our actions. How on earth can we be godly in our behavior if we're not being purposeful in our behavior? If we're not sitting there saying, Lord, this is what you've said needs to be in my life, right? Fruit of the Spirit. These are the things you've told me to stay away from, right? The devil's darts. It's important. So I need to start making decisions to avoid the bad things and do the good things. And rest assured, if you don't have the good things in your life, the bad things are going to sneak in. You don't close your window, you're going to have a high gas bill. You leave your door open, you're welcoming people to come in and take whatever they want. You leave the walls down open in your life and the devil will come in and do whatever he wants. And he won't even have to try. Because we invite it. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. That's why we have the problems we have. Watch your vices. There shouldn't be any. Watch your excess. There should not be any. We must be godly in our deportment, walking, as he said in this letter, circumspectly, with wisdom and discernment. And then he says this, be careful for nothing. Man, that's a hard thing to be, isn't it? Now, we're not talking careful as what we were just talking, like, hey, be careful, don't slip on the ice. We're talking about being so filled with care, you begin to make a mistake. We're talking about worry. Worry. Now, well, then why did he use the word careful? Well, because before we perverted our language, that's exactly what it meant. Careful means filled with care. And people worry. What will we do if we go to war? Whatever God wants us to do. What will we do if my health turns? Whatever God wants us to do. What do we do if the government messes up? Whatever God wants us to do. That's what we're going to do. But we worry. We stress. We need to look to God and trust. Folks, there, at a certain point, there's no reason for a Christian to have a problem with anxiety. Now, I've known some people with tumors and medicine interactions. That makes sense. I've known some people with just chemical things, whatever. I understand that. But on the base amount, you and me walking through life, there's no reason for it. Did he not say he'd never leave us nor forsake us? Did he not say cast all your care upon him? Did you think he was kidding? Do you think he's got butterfingers? I would never say such a thing about our God. What is in his hands, he holds fast. But we play those games. Melody was doing that to me. We were unwrapping some things. She brings it to me. She wants me to unwrap it. But she doesn't have the patience to wait for me to unwrap it. So she'll bring it to me, and I'll look at it, and I'm trying to look at where the tape is, and then she'll take it back. And then, hold on. That's you, isn't it? Lord, here's my prayer request. Lord, here's my problem. Lord, here's where I'm failing in. I need help. All right, you got it? Good. Now let me take it back so I can worry about it. Anybody here, you garden? And do you think that when you worry about whether or not it's going to grow, do you think it grows more? Scientifically, that's an impossibility. Hey, anybody here, you ever been sick? Maybe got the flu or something more serious, and worry got you out of it? Again, impossibility. But we slap worry on it like it's butter. And we marinate everything in worry. What does the Bible say? Don't. Be careful for nothing. Well, what if it's really big? Nothing. Again, nothing from the Greek meaning nothing. No thing. Break it down however you want. Imagine the biggest problem you could ever have, that. Imagine the smallest problem you could ever have, that. What if you have both at the same time? Yes. Careful for nothing. Don't be worried. That's what we do. Well, the grandkids, all the grandkids, all the kids, all the kids, all the future, the stock market, the presidency, the car, the medicine, the health insurance, retirement. Oh, what are we gonna do? Oh, the back garden, the dog, the cat, the mouse. Oh. What are you doing? What are you really doing? You're not doing anything with that energy. So what do I do then? What do I do then if I'm sitting there going, Lord, please help me with this, and I find my grubby little hands reaching back over to take it from them? Lord, I'm sorry, I tried to take it from you again. That could take all day until you learn your lesson absolutely. Until you learn your lesson absolutely. Here's the thing you need to understand about behavior. If you've developed a habit over a long period of time, it takes a lot of work to get rid of it sometimes. Especially if that problem is right here. Because I can tie my hands down and not take something. I could keep far from it. As the Bible says, it's better to cut your arm out, remove your eye. You can do that, but it is hard to sever stuff in here. So guess what? It's going to take a while. Eventually, your body's going to go, your brain's going to go, we need to get stuff done. I can't be doing this all day. And you're going to learn. You couple that with remembering who God is and a life filled with worship. And you're going to sit there and you're going to go, it's in His hands. I'm going to work. I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to do exactly what God has asked me to do. I'm not going to stop the things He's told me to do. But I'm not going to touch that with worry. You know, I talk to people all the time. Well, we got financial problems. Well, where do you work? Well, I'm having a hard time finding a job. Why are you having a hard time finding a job? I don't want to do anything that has anything to do with food. I don't want anything that has anything to do with retail. I don't want to sit in an office all day, and I don't want to have to work in inclement weather. So what do you want to do? I really like to work from home. What skills do you have? I can answer a phone, and I'm good on Facebook. You need to broaden your horizons, but you don't need to worry. Go out. You know this. Your generation knows this. I wish my generation knew this better. We're not all going to work our dream jobs. We're not all going to work our dream jobs. Listen, there is no part of me that still holds out that they're going to put me out in space one day. At least not for something fun, right? I'm not going to be an astronaut. If I sat there not taking a single job, those poor kids would have starved. That woman would have either killed me or left me. You got to work. You ain't work. You ain't eating. You ain't working. You ain't eating. Well, we just got so many things. We just need the government to change to give us more. No, you don't need more. You need to work. So do your work, but don't worry. Oh, man, I've got all these health things and... Man, I'm going to leave it to the Lord. And I'm going to stop taking my medicine. No, take your medicine. Well, why? Doesn't that show a lack of faithfulness? You honestly believe that the scientific breakthroughs we've come through on medication were because we're so stinking clever? Or do you think God gave us the ability to figure that stuff out? Well, you see, we take these four plants, we process them down. Who put the plants there? God did. You ever sit there and tonight when you're taking your medicine, if you take medicine at night, tonight when you're taking your medicine, I want you to look at that thing and I want you to ask yourself, how'd they figure this out? You ever just sit there and put a bunch of things together and grind it up and find the cure for hip dysplasia? I mean, it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. So you sit there, when we were sitting there, we got, number one, He gives us the materials. Number two, He guides the people, take your medicine, but don't worry. Worry ain't gonna cure cancer. Worry isn't gonna mend your leg. Worry isn't gonna make whatever. Worry is not going to help you. You give it to God, you leave it there. You pick it back up, you take it back. Man, I prayed, and I find myself 5 minutes later, worried about it again. Put it back. Okay, but at 5 minutes, put it back. And you keep putting it back, and you keep, saying you're sorry for grabbing it. Be careful for nothing. Well, what should I do then? Well, let's talk about it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. How many things? Everything. What kind of things? Everything. By prayer. Now, what is that? What's prayer? No. What's prayer? Hey, I'll get somebody to call every now and then. Hey, do you have a good prayer on healing? Do you have a good prayer on financial success? You cannot magic word your way into God's good graces. But you can go up to Him and ask Him. You understand that? God does not wait for a certain set of words to be said before He hears His children. He is not some kind of magic animal that we can summon in the forest by chanting phrases. He is the Almighty God of heaven who knows what is in your heart. You go to Him. There's one mediator between God and man, and that is Christ Jesus, and He has opened up that door. You go talk to God. I'm tired of people using that prayer, that word prayer wrong. Well, you know, I'm going to pray. You know, we'll pray and there's healing power in prayer. No, there's not. No, it's not. You think that by abracadabbering your way through a statement, that set of words is healing you? It's not. Who is healing you? The God you are asking to heal you. And that will keep you focused. Well, I said the words and I said the words and I said the words. No, you talk to the Lord, you talk to the Lord, and you talk to the Lord. Well, doesn't He ever get irritated according to Scripture? No. The effectual, fervent prayer. Keep asking. Keep asking. And keep yourself in the knowledge. Remind yourself that it is only by Him we find the answers to our problems. So talk to God. You talk to God. Have others talk to God. Here's an idea when we have our prayer band. Have us talk to God for you. Well, I don't want that kind of attention. Listen, we're disobeying the Lord if we're not praying for each other. We're disobeying the Lord. If I'm not praying for you and you're not praying for me, I'm disobeying the Lord. If I'm not going to God and saying, God, here's the situation. Listen, I'm not a gossip. I'm not that curious. I am a little curious, but I'm not that curious to where I necessarily need you to tell me what color what was. It is a matter of let me pray for you. Now, I've met a few people where you got to tell them, hey, listen, just give me a vague generality. Don't... Some people sit there, turn your stomach at dinner. Oh, yes, and then this came out, and it was green, and the doctor was all sick, and the nurse just quit. And be respectful, but have people pray for you. And you pray. And keep a prayer request list of your friends. Keep in mind, I've always been impressed by the people who pray, and they've got a good understanding. Folks will bring things up we haven't talked about in 2 or 3 weeks. Things that another church member had brought up and said, hey, pray for this. They'll bring that up in their prayer. That always impresses me. Some of you are really good at it. Mercy, we need to pray. So talk to God about it. It says, with supplication. You know what supplication means? Seeking. Now let's see, if I'm praying to God, what would involve me seeking? Number one, I'm asking as though I want an answer. And number two, I'm listening for that answer. I got a problem in my marriage. Well, gee, where would God have told you how to answer that? I don't feel right. There's something wrong in my life. I've got more sin in it than I normally do. I really don't have the control over myself I normally do. Well, boy, oh boy, I wonder where God would answer that. Do you think He's going to answer that through the radio? Do you think He's going to answer that in the sun, the moon, and the stars, in a fortune cookie? Where is God going to answer you? If you're supplicating, where is it? It's right here. You better be reading this book. And when you ask, you better be asking as though you think He can do it for you. You know, hey, Brother Mark, can you fly me out to the moon real quick? That's how some of us ask God for things. We ask questions we don't think He can do. We ask, well, I'm supposed to ask God to help heal this person. I don't know if that's going to work. He's done more. There's nothing that can go wrong with your body that God can't fix. If he can bring people back from the dead, he could fix whatever's going on. And I'm talking about here and here.
Oh, God doesn't do anything for mental health.
That's wonderful that God would create something he can't fix. You ever hear that? Can God lift a stone, or can God make a stone that he can't lift and then turn around and lift it? I got asked that question one time. I just kind of look over at him. What's wrong with you? By nature, can God do something he can't do and then turn around and do the thing that he can't do? We have twice said that God can't do something. And number one, I think God's far too busy to be playing silly games. Ask him. Believe. Believe. Well, how am I going to get my mind into the mindset that I can, because I'm not always there? Remember. That's why he started off. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's why he put it there before he started saying this stuff. Because it comes first. Remember who you're talking to. But by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for caring. Thank you for what you have already done for me. And for whatever answer you give, yes, no, or wait, I thank you ahead of time. Father, thank you for the resources I have as I ask you for resources I don't. Thank you for the health that I have as I ask you for health that I don't have. Thank you. Keep your heart grateful. Because otherwise, bitterness, sin, doubt, fear will creep in and make fools out of us all. And we see that in this supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When we talk to God, this is how we're talking to God. We're asking, we're expecting and searching. We are lifting him up in thanksgiving, and this is how we make our requests known unto God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You ever lose your mind? You ever lose heart? This is what a lot of people are struggling with. You lose your mind, you lose your heart. Stuff happens and you don't think straight. Things happen and you start impulse decision making. And you make a bigger mess and sin gets in the mix. Well, I got to do a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and I know God won't be happy, but for the short term, this is going to make me better. And then it doesn't. Why? Because that's what sin does. It lies to you about what it is. The devil says, here's a solution. Here's a solution. This thing that God told you to do? Do the opposite. Wouldn't that be a great solution? You know how God told you not to eat the fruit? Eat the fruit. It'll make your life better. And we've been hearing that lie ever since. Take this pill, down this bottle, smoke this, inject that, be here, be there, listen to this, do that, don't go to church, don't read your Bible, don't pray, don't do those things. Do these things instead, and you'll have the upper hand. The devil is lying to us. Lying. And we must reject what this world says to do. We must reject what our flesh desires to do and what the devil wants us to do. And we must cling wholeheartedly to what God has to say. When we can do the things that we have talked about tonight, then that peace that passes all understanding will keep you from losing your mind. Amen. Man, I've done things. I sat there, I said, what's wrong with me? I must be out of my mind. I've seen other people do things. And I go, well, now you know you're not supposed to do that. Why would you do it? I already know why. You lost your mind. And I don't mean that being mean. What should be our mindset? Rejoicing and worshiping God, bringing all of our cares and concerns to Him, relying on Him for a solution. That should be where our mind is. But sometimes we lose our mind. We lose our mind at the grocery store. We lose our mind at the buffet. We lose our mind on the road. We lose our mind when people make us angry. We lose our mind when people make us happy. We lose our minds when we step away from these things. And then we look back and we say, I don't know what I was thinking. I know what you were thinking. I want what the devil's offering me here. I want the easy solution. I want the quick fix. I want the abracadabra. The devil's a liar. As a matter of fact, he's called the father of lies for a reason. And not just a father of lies, but he's a murderer. He's that lion that seeketh whom he may devour. 2 Samuel 22, verse 29, though, says, 2 Samuel 22, verse 29 says, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leapt over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried." The word of the Lord is tried. What does that mean? It means we have done it and it works. And then we did it again and it works. And then we did it again and it works. It works. It works. It works. It has been tried, tested, and proven to be right. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. The devil can't do that. Your impulse decision to do what feels right instead of what is right cannot do what the Lord can do. Sedating yourself, distracting yourself, blowing out your anger, compromising on what God says to do, it will not do what the devil promises it will do. But God's way has been tried, and it will. These things that God has given us, we know they are right because it comes from Him. It comes from Him. No one will ever love you like God does. Don't betray Him. No one will ever love you like God does. Don't embarrass Him. Don't try to substitute Him. You hold fast to God and His way. We see that that peace will keep your mind. I got them reversed. It'll also keep your hearts. What do you mean keep my heart? Why is it pose a difference between my heart and my mind? Isn't it all right here? Your heart's your courage. Your heart's your faith. Your heart is your surety of behavior. And sometimes that's what we got. We got a heart issue. Well, I'm scared, so I'm going to make a panic decision against what God says. I'm hurting, so I'm going to make a panic decision against what God says. I am frustrated. I can't think of a solution. Hey, listen, if you're looking for a biblical solution to something that's bothering you and you're having a hard time finding it on your own, did you know that God has put a man in your life who just sits around all day waiting for you to have a problem? And you know what? I will always be there in the hospital. I'll always be there when you are celebrating. But man, if you could just, if your problems could be like find it in the Bible problems, that's a lot easier for both of us. It's a lot easier for both of us. You don't have to go to the hospital, and I can not have to see you in the hospital. You know what I mean? It's hard. That's what I'm here for. Well, he's young. He doesn't understand. Folks, it's not my age. It's this book. And I've spent a lot of time. The Lord has done a lot in me to make sure I can look at your problems and cut you an honest deal and speak to you pure. Well, I don't want him to know. Why? What do you think I'm going to do with it? bring it up as a sermon illustration. I don't do that unless you're my kids. I'm really trying not to do that so much. That's what the church is here for. That's what your brothers and sisters in Christ are here for. That is absolutely what I'm here for. You got problems and you can't find the solution in the Bible, two heads are better than one.
Amen.
Let us go to the Word. I'm not going to sit there and say, well, let me tell you what I think. Because that's dangerous. I'm going to say, well, let's find it. I'm sorry you're going through that. Let's pray for a second. Let's, you and I go to God together. Let's talk to Him together about this. And then we begin the work. And we pull the things out of the Word. We put them together. We say, all right, you remove this, you put in that. Right? You stop watching these movies where people are cussing and hollering at each other. And instead, you memorize these verses here about the way we ought to be talking. You cut this out, you put this in. You take out the ungodly, you put in the godly. And we go through it again and again. Why? Because those are the things that will keep your hearts. They'll keep you courageous. They'll keep you fighting. They'll keep you faithful. As he's telling them these things, what we see is the solution to so many of the problems people experience today. Well, why am I so flustered? Why am I so this? Why am I so that? Why do I keep seeking to stimulate my mind? Because you lost it somehow. And we need to put the things in there that should be in there. We went out, we'll go over to the well. We saw the ground was sinking in around the well. What do? You put dirt back in it. We're back there and we see that the water, the little red light's flashing. We need to replace the water. What do we fill it with? Water. If it ought to be Christ in your heart and there is a problem, what do we put back in there? The Lord. And it won't be perfect. You're not going to be sitting there and living a life as though bad things never happened. You're supposed to be changed by things. We're supposed to remember those things that tried us and made us stronger. But you will find a peace, as that says, that passes all understanding. And in trusting in that peace God gives you, you'll have more of it the next time something comes through. How many times we've sat around our table trying to solve problems in the last 15 years, and our conclusion has been this: God's never failed us yet. Now, those first few years, you're just saying it. You're just saying it. Well, we trust God. We believe God will do it. God will have an answer. And after a few years, there's some conviction in it. And after beyond that, there's expectation in it. Well, how are we going to fix this? How are we going to solve that? Hey, listen, so-and-so is sick, and so-and-so is sick, and we got to do this, and how do we... I don't know. Lord will provide an answer. And you know what I have found? There always is one. Well, how are we going to move out to Mount Morris to sell the house? What are we going to... And you know what? See, I got you beat. The first day on the market, the very first open house they did, that house was sold. And I'll guarantee you, my house was in worse shape than yours. I'm bragging now. What happens? The Lord goes, I need him over there. So let's get the people together. Who's got money? Good. Put in an offer. Absolutely. And then here we are. We need a place to stay. Here's a bunch of places to stay. Well, who will take us? Just about everybody. Praise the Lord. Another spot to put our feet. Was it the Taj Mahal? No, I wouldn't want to clean the Taj Mahal. We had a nice place to stay. And then, oh, well, these people aren't talking to us. And we don't know what to do, man. They're not talking to us. We're supposed to renew our lease. It's been like 3 months, and they still haven't answered an email. They haven't picked up the phone, all the voicemails we left them. They have ghosted us. We got to buy a house. I'm sitting there, I tell the church, hey, listen, this is what we're doing. This is what we're going through. We're not worried, but this is what's happening. Get a phone call from Brother Dwayne the next morning. And that we're happy as clams. Well, Lord, what are we going to do? I ain't got to worry. I just got to keep going where he told me to go. And after a while, there's no fear. Now, I got to be careful saying that because rest assured, I'm going to be tested again tomorrow. But if I am, I know what to expect. I have to expect to praise him, to bring these things to him, and to let my faith in him determine my pattern of behavior. And after that, it just keep going. And those things will be there. From a bag of groceries to a brand new house, it does not matter. God will take care of you. So I ask you this, if you're one of those people who fuss and worry, and you try to lay it down to God, and then you find yourself walking away with it, put yourself through the work. Take it back. Lord, I'm sorry, I'm worried again. Lord, I'm sorry, I'm worried again. Eventually, your brain will get tired of worrying. I can't keep going back to him. And trust and wait. He's good to us. We must have faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for this peace that passes all understanding. Lord, the fact that we could still be scared or frustrated, but Lord, still feel peace, that's a miracle only you can do. Lord, I pray this, that you strengthen our faith. That Lord, through the trying and the tempering and the purifying that you put us through, that Lord, as patience does its work upon us, that Father, we become things, we become people that bring you honor and glory and not piles of panic and fear. Help us, Lord, to stay obedient in our times of trial as well as in our times of blessing. Lord, we love you, and I pray this. You help us to mirror our behavior to show it. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.